That song that we just sang, a very creative reworking of an old hymn and an old tune, and just reviewing some of the real basics of the gospel. And I wanted to sing that because that's the foundation, although James never really makes the gospel explicit in his letter that's packed with wisdom about how to live the Christian life. James is standing on that foundation. And I'm going to read James chapter 2, beginning with verse 14 and all the way through 26, and ask you to follow along, and I recommend that you leave your Bible open. Hear now the Word of God. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now that we've got to know James a little bit, you are not at all surprised that he's not impressed by words. Once again, he's the Missouri apostle. He says, show me. Look again at verse 14. What good is it, he says, if someone says he has faith but has not works? In other words, what good is a so-called faith that doesn't impact your actions? Back in the early 70s, when I was a high school student in youth group, we sang a song that was a takeoff on, well, you remember the song, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Okay. And we, in youth group, we sang a takeoff on that that went, if you're Christian and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
Let's try that again. If you're Christian and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're Christian and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're Christian and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're Christian and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
That's James. If you have genuine faith, it doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. You're going to stumble continually. The Christian life, as I've told you many times, is very often two steps forward, or even one step forward, and then two steps back. But if there's no difference in our lives because we belong to Christ, then James would question whether we belong to him at all. There's an old question that you've heard many times before, and it's a good one. If you were to be arrested for being a Christian, could they find enough evidence to convict you? That's James. And he gives us an example in verse 15. If a brother or a sister, in other words, another Christian, he's talking about another person within the family of faith. If a brother or a sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and James is not being abstract here. The Jerusalem church, of which James is the head, the Jerusalem church had lots of poor people. Because the Jerusalem church was the church that was brought together by Jesus. And Jesus had a heart for the poor. So James isn't speaking in abstraction here. This is absolutely a situation that they would have encountered. If a brother or a sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled. But you don't do anything. He says, what good is that? In other words, your sentiment that you've expressed, go in peace, be warm and filled, is nothing but pious, sugary blather that doesn't accomplish anything. James even gives a stern warning here that look at verse 14 again, if someone says he has faith, but it's not producing any action in that individual's life. Once again, James would call into question if that person is merely once born and not really a believer at all. Not only is James not impressed with empty talk, he's not impressed with empty belief, no matter how orthodox. No matter how much it's in keeping with Scripture. And I tell you, this is a good warning for people like us. Our church was born out of a concern for biblical truth and founded on a passion for biblical truth. And James would say, if that's all you've got, If affirming that truth is all you've got and it's not being lived out, it's not manifesting itself in your life in any way, you can take that belief and 25 cents and get a pack of gum. I said that recently. I forget where I said that recently. And somebody said to me, Phil, you haven't bought gum in a long time, have you? Yeah. What does a pack of gum cost these days? I have no idea. James quotes, the text was read just a minute ago. Aline read the text from Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's the central affirmation of Hebrew faith, the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And James says, you believe that? Very good. The demons believe it too. And shudder. It's possible for human beings in this sense, it's possible for human beings to have a demonic faith, isn't it? To have a faith that's the same thing as what, simply giving intellectual assent, simply saying, yes, I agree that there is a God, there is one God. And James says, if that's not being fleshed out in your life. Once again, not perfection, but there needs to be some evidence that that faith, that belief, makes a difference in your life. Look at verse 17. Faith, or right belief by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Not sick, not running a fever, dead. Now, here's where we're going to go back to the Apostle Paul, because I know there's just something in the heart that says, now, wait a minute. I've read the book of Romans, and I've read Ephesians, and Paul says, by grace you have been saved through faith. It's the gift of God, not the result of works. In Romans chapter 3, Paul says, we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is why our dear friend Martin Luther, and those of you that have hung around me a while, know that Luther is one of my heroes. I love Martin Luther. Luther read the book of James, and he wanted it taken out of the New Testament. He wanted it removed from what's called the canon of accepted authoritative books. Luther was a little bit of a hothead, and we should really thank God for that, or we may not have had a Reformation. Moderates do not start revolutions. He was a little bit of a hothead, and he should have calmed down about the book of James. Because Paul, when he says justification by faith alone, and James, when he says faith without works is dead, though James and Paul are not standing nose to nose arguing. They're standing back to back. And they're facing different enemies. Paul is facing the enemy of legalism that says you can earn your way into God's favor. And James is facing the enemy of a lazy and apathetic faith that wants to claim the mantle of Christ without having our life be shaped by Christ. And there is absolutely no disagreement between Paul and James. Now, all of this begs the question, what is faith? Because James tells us faith without works is dead. Well, what is faith? Well, there's a great definition in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The assurance of what is hoped for, based on the promises of God, to be assured of that, to be assured of God's promises. The conviction of things not seen. I've not seen Jesus risen from the dead, but I have the conviction that he's alive, that he is raised. I can't visibly see my sins forgiven. That's invisible to me. But I have the conviction of things not seen. And then the book of Hebrews goes on to give us some examples of faith. This is Hebrews chapter 11. It's sometimes called the Faith Hall of Fame. And this is going to dovetail really well with James and his concern that faith without works is dead. I'm not going to go over all of them. We're just taking a sample out of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. Now, I want you to notice here something. There's a formula in Hebrews 11. By faith, and then there's a verb. They did something. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Noah constructed an ark. The text doesn't say this, but before a drop of rain fell. James would say that's faith. He was called. He did something. By faith, Noah constructed an ark. Doesn't mean he was perfect. Noah was a sinner. I was at a conference recently, the West Coast Presbyterian Pastors Conference, and one of our speakers, a wonderful woman who's professor of Old Testament at Gordon Conwell Seminary, blanking on her name. That's all right. Anyway, she read to us samples of children's books about the story of Noah. And every one of those children's books about Noah begins with a variation on this phrase. Noah was a good man. Noah pleased God with his life. Noah was good. And she stopped right there. She read about five different examples out of children's books, and then she stopped and she said, "No, he wasn't. Noah was a sinner. The reason that he pleased God was when God said, build a big boat, he built a big boat. He showed his faith, and that faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. By faith, Abraham obeyed." There's the verb. "By faith, Abraham obeyed." We're still in Hebrews 11. "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out, and he went out, not knowing where he was going." So his faith was not to sit in Ur of the Chaldees and say, "I believe in God." Now, once again, was Abraham a good man? No. He was an idolater. Several times he tried to fob off his wife as his sister. I mean, he gets tired of waiting on God, and he fathers a child through his slave girl. Abraham is not a good man. He's a righteous man because he has faith. When God said go, he packed up and he went. That's biblical faith. Biblical faith is not about being a good person. It's about being a new person. And only God can do that when we place our faith in him. And then James gives us a couple of examples. I'm back in James chapter 2 now, James 2:21. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar?" Abraham showed his faith in that when God spoke to him and said, "I want you to offer your son, your only son Isaac, as a sacrifice to me," he said yes, trusting that God would find a way, that God would find a way through that. Then he also gives us, James gives us the example of Rahab the prostitute. And by the way, it does seem that there are some professions where the title just sticks with you. It's not Rahab the, you know, who lived in Jericho. It's Rahab the prostitute. But maybe James really wants to rub it into us that faith is not about being a good person. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with being a good person. Be a good person. Don't trust in that for your salvation. Rahab the prostitute showed her faith that when the spies that were sent into the city of Jericho, and they found safety and protection in her house, and she didn't know the Bible, she didn't know theology, she knew one story. She had heard about how God had parted the waters of the Red Sea so that the people could go through. And she said to the spies, "I've heard about what your God did. And that's why we're fearful here. And I honor your God and I want to help you." By faith, she's made right with God. On September the 4th, 1957, 9 African-American high school students walked up the steps of Central High School in Little Rock, Arkansas. They were called the Little Rock Nine. Some of you remember, I don't, I was 1 year old. They were met at the top of the stairs by the Arkansas National Guard that refused them entry to the school. For those that know the history, President Eisenhower eventually sent in the 101st Airborne Division to enforce the desegregation of the Little Rock Central High School. As those 9 African-American students made their way up the steps, they were led by a white man, a white Presbyterian minister named Dunbar Ogden. Those who had been planning this process of integration thought, hoped, if we can get a white pastor to lead the kids onto the campus, maybe that will help. They made phone calls all over town and were refused, 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 refused. No, I can't. I won't. I'd lose my job. They called Dunbar Ogden, and he said, yes, I'll do it. And he ended up losing his job because his congregation ended up firing him because they were so passionate in favor of segregation. Dunbar Ogden's son wrote a book about it called My Father Said Yes. Dunbar Ogden, Presbyterian minister, was a sinner. When God called and said, I have a calling for you, I want you to stand for me, he said yes. Now, most of us in our lives won't face a situation that dramatic. But James is right. Faith without works, that's never willing to stand, that's never willing to step out and risk, that kind of faith is dead. But let me close with an affirmation of you. About how many months ago now, about 8 months ago, God spoke into your heart and said, go. I want you to form a new church. I want you to leave a place of security, and you're going to live in tents, and here we are. It's a pretty nice tent, by the way. Our God has been so faithful to us and will continue to be faithful as we continue to answer his call and step forward and follow in faith. Amen? Just bow for prayer. Well, Lord, this word from our friend James stings a little bit. It challenges us to move beyond the easy platitudes of faith and to live into your calling on our lives, that Jesus would be reflected in the way that we live, in the way that we relate with others, in the way that we serve. Give us grace by your Holy Spirit. To trust in Christ alone for our salvation, but not to rest in that and ignore your call to follow where you lead. And we pray it in the precious name of Jesus, and for his sake. Amen.